brother, you live your life in vanity. You traded all your hopes and dreams for insanity.
This is Father Harry Dean with the Restorative Justice Ministry of the Diocese of Austin. I'm joined today by Deacon Ronnie Lastavica and Sister Jean Thomas with the Sisters of the Morning Star. I want to welcome you both. We're so happy that you're here. We're going to talk today and in the next couple of episodes on how to build the common life. And that's for all of us, but most especially for our listeners in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Deacon Ronnie has been in service there for many years now. I formerly was. And with Sister Jean Thomas and her sisters are also beginning to visit as well. But wanted to let Deacon Ronnie tell us a little bit more about Sister Jean before we get into our topic today on building the common life.
Thank you, Father Harry. I first came to know of the Sisters of the Morning Star about 2 years ago, an article that was in the Catholic Spirit in the Diocese of Austin's monthly publication, and it spoke about this contemplative community of nuns that were moving to Central Texas. They were just a little town of west of Waco and Woodway. And as I read about their contemplative life, I thought about the women, particularly on death row, that were living a similar life. The women on death row definitely are cloistered. Even though the sisters are contemplative, they're not cloistered. But there was a lot of similarities between how they just went through their day. In fact, the women on death row, their rooms are called cells, and the sisters' rooms are called cells. And the sisters on death row do community work together. The sisters in Morning Star also do community work, but they also do a private prayer and adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So it was this interest of, I thought, it'd be wonderful if the two communities would have a chance to meet. And so that's how I found the Sisters of the Morning Star and went up and visited their prioress in the community. And they discerned getting permission to come out. And eventually the sisters have been coming to death row now for 2 years, once a month. They're trained volunteers of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice system. So they have become a part of ministry team there, not only just to the ladies on death row, but also to the officers and the other inmates that they see as they come in and off the campus of the prison. Sister Jean is the prioress of the community that resides in Woodway, and she is native of France. She holds degrees in international law and European community law, and she's been a religious now for almost 2.5 decades, 25 years. It's a beautiful witness to the call that she said yes to Jesus. And so, Sister Jean, what are some of the common points of this community life that you speak of?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm very glad to be with you today. The common points, it's the first and the very important one is that we didn't choose each other. So for religious life, it is a choice of God. And you in prison, you didn't choose your inmate, you know. And the second common point is that we are an international community. And so we have different nationalities and culture. And I think it's the same for you. And the third one is that there is no mix between men and women. And for us, as consecrated women, we live between women only and in spirit of chastity. So there are common points, and in the same time, it is different. But I can bring you my experience as a consecrated woman.
And we are very grateful that you have prayed about and understood, Sister, that there are these points in the life of the incarcerated, the inmates, and in the religious life as well, with those points that you just gave us. So given that there are these common points, how do you see the common life as you have, the community life as you have built it as a religious, and the community life for the inmates? I understand you have identified four aspects where these two might find some common ground.
Yes. So I just would like to mention that common life could be something beautiful and in the same time very challenging, and I think that you know that very well. But how to transform this common life in something beautiful and strong, even if it is demanding, and in a certain way, common life it's to learn how to love. To love, and I think there is these four aspects. Which help to build a common life. It's love, forgiveness, trust, and respect and openness to other culture. And really, trust, it's a foundation. It's like when you build a house, before to build the walls, you need a foundation. And trust is the foundation for common life. And it's like a climate, yeah? Something essential. And love is our finality. It's our end. We try to tend toward this love for one another. Forgiveness and respect and openness to other cultures is like means, and that we use to reach our goal, to love one another. So trust, first of all, how to build trust, because it's difficult, and that it's a reality, and it takes time. We cannot build trust in 1 second, or in 1 day, or in 2 days. It's something that grows in our relationship to one another. And look at your experience. You don't have the same trust in someone we just met, or in a friend for 10 or 20 years. That's why it takes time. And in our world today, trust is something very, very, very difficult, without a doubt. And very often we have big wounds regarding to trust because of betrayal of a friend, for instance. And sometimes we are the betrayer. So it's not necessarily only the others. And you need to make the distinction, and all of us, that trust with a business partner is different from the trust with a friend. The trust that leads us to love is a choice. We choose to trust in this person because I love this person, or I want to love this person. It is a choice, even if it takes time to trust. And we grow in this trust in the measure that we grow in our love. To trust in the other doesn't imply necessary to tell our life. It is really much more than that. So what do you think, Father Harry?
Well, I'm hearing you talk about trust, and I'm remembering the years that I spent with our friends that are incarcerated, and even with the officers, and I think many of us in the world outside the prison life as well. And I go back to those common points that you spoke about, that Deacon Ronnie asked about. You know, the first one was we didn't choose each other. Right. And when we don't choose each other, then we don't always know the other perfectly well until some time has passed. And once we get to know them, then we begin to develop ideas about the thing that I have learned about you, that thing, okay, that's something where I can build trust. But that thing that I learned about you makes me worry about trusting you, makes me wonder, can I trust you or should I trust you? And for many of us, I don't know about the French culture, and this is where we get to that, you know, learn to be open to other cultures. Okay, I know the Texan culture. I know the North American culture. And one aspect of that when it comes to we didn't choose each other is when I first get to know you, I decide certain things. And it takes a great deal of, I don't know, time and practice before I'm willing to change my first thoughts about you. We call them first impressions. And so we're very, I don't think we're lazy. It's just that we tend to believe that the first thing we learn about someone, it means that that's all there is to learn about them, that they can't be different than that first thing that I learned. But all of us have the good days and the bad days. We have the trustworthy days and the not so trustworthy days. But in prison, it really seems like people learn about others and then they don't change their minds. I know you. because of the first time that I met you. But the truth is people do change over time. And so I wonder, you know, when we don't choose each other for religious life, you know, it is a choice in God. You didn't choose your inmate. How do I help myself trust after first impressions? And then I get a second impression and something new is there. How do I learn who you really are so that I can trust?
It's a very good question. And it's the same problem for religious life. We didn't choose each other. And that's why I insist a lot about the choice. We didn't choose. So we receive each other like that. So for the prison, it's because you do a bad thing and you are there for to pay for the society. And in religious life, it's the choice of God. But if you don't choose your sister in common life, truly, you will have difficulty in common life. That's why I invite you to choose those who live with you. And that is the first step. It's a choice. And the choice could be only made by you, not by another one. It's a choice. And then how to grow in this trust and not to be stuck in this first impression. And because somewhere it's a normal human attitude. I think it's just to be open and not to put the other in a box. And very often, we put people in a box. This person is like that, like that, like that. A sister is like that, like that. She will never change. And we all have this suffering when someone put us in a box. So if it's a source of suffering for me, it will be a source of suffering if I put myself, someone, in a box. And so to live of this trust, it's a question of choice and not to enclose the person in what I touch of this person. Because what I touch of this person is nothing comparatively for what this person is. And so we need to be surpassed like that. We need to be, to leave the other surpass our little point of view and not to put the people in a box. But yes, it's challenging, but it's a choice.
As I go about trying to say, okay, I understand, I do put people in a box and people put me in a box. Some of those boxes I like. Especially if they're favorable to me. You know, they say something positive about me. But I also know there's plenty of things about me that aren't positive. Every person knows those things. But so, all right, you've done something. It harmed me. Maybe not a big harm, maybe a little harm. So now my trust in you is even less. But I'm trying to see in you trustworthy things. How do the sisters in religious life, because I think it will transfer into prison life, once someone has harmed you, maybe a little thing, maybe a big thing, how do I get myself beyond the hurt so that I try to trust again?
That is a question of forgiveness. And that is so important in common life. So we have this tradition in monastic life to have every week a chapter of culps. It means it's a chapter that we ask forgiveness to one another. It's not a confession, it's different. It's, for instance, when we slam a door because we didn't pay enough attention, or we talk too much at the recreation and we don't leave the other to talk or to express something, or when we wear a bad mood and we suddenly react with... very strongly, that is French character, and is to ask forgiveness for one another, to one another, and that is very important. And in common life, very often, the little things are the most difficult to forgive. And that it's something, but here again, it's a question of choice. So to ask forgiveness and to accept that the other ask me forgiveness it's a mean to go beyond this what you try to underline.
So if I'm able to do that for you, I'm hopeful that others will be able to do that for me, that
yes.
they'll be able to overlook the little things that I do as well and give
yes.
me a second chance so that they can trust me as well.
It sounds as if there's a chiseling process that's going on here in the common life. You know, that you think of a chiseler with a sculpture, a rock, that someone's chiseling on you, that sense of
yeah.
chipping away the stuff that we need to get rid of, but also bringing in the virtuous life that we really want to embrace and help us to move into that, to being and more embracing of each other. And that, and especially as you speak to the notion of trust and
yeah.
the value of that trust.
I think it's a beautiful image and completely just. It's that when we ask forgiveness and when we leave the other to be himself, and sometimes the other, and very often, is better than me for one aspect of the life. And so it could be a source of example, but it implies that maybe I need to correct myself. And so to one another, you know, we correct ourselves, and it's like that we will build love and to build trust. And yeah, I like really your image. It's very just.
You talk about also in the common points, and I want to bring that back together with the conversation about trust, the different nationalities and cultures. So in your order, in the Sisters of the Morning Star, you have many of them. In our prisons, many of our general public population don't realize there's people from all over the world in Texas prisons, because people from all over the world come to the state of Texas, especially the big cities, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. That's where a lot of our incarcerated people come from, because that's where their crimes were committed. And these are international communities. So the prisons become international as well. In the religious life, what kind of ways do the sisters have in this chiseling process to be able to kind of chip away the cultural exterior of the person and see to their humanity? How do you learn how to, in other words, interpret someone who's from another nationality and see the common humanity that we all share together? Is there training? Do you just do it by instinct? Does the Holy Spirit come to your help?
No, yes, that's for sure. But there is no training. But I will say that more and more when we advance in religious life in our community, because I cannot talk for the other one, there is an openness to the other culture. And even if the culture is something very important for each one of us, and explain what we can be now is not everything. And the deepest of the man is beyond culture. And to love and to... We have these two capacities in man, is to love and to know. And that you can look at Aristotle. And it's so this capacity to know, this aspect of intelligence, and this capacity to love, and to love, it's common to each one of us, because it's deeply human. And we join, we can reach the other deeply at these two levels, at the level of knowledge, to search the truth together, to share a book, to share a class, to share a passion for sport or whatever. There is many, many examples. And to love, everybody is capable to love. And it's not because we did something bad, and we are all sinners, me first. Okay, you are in prison because you do something bad, but it doesn't exclude the fact that you are able to love. It's not an opposition. And these two. So the culture, yeah, it could be challenging, but there is good and bad in each culture. And I think when we are several nationalities, it's good to discover what is good in the other culture. and to build. Oh, you do that. I will never think about that. It's so beautiful. What does it mean? What is the deepest meaning of this old dance or of this artist? Oh, how do you live Christmas? Oh, us, we live like that. But no, us, we prefer like that. It's always a source of richness. But after, yes, there is difference between culture and sometimes we can laugh about. So there is a Mexican way to clean. There is an African way to clean. There is a French way to clean. There is an American way to clean. And sometimes it could be a source of big laugh.
Well, and I think so oftentimes we get into a sensibility of competition. It's Mexican, it's African, it's French, it's American. Ours is the best. So I'm not interested in looking for the good in your culture. I'm looking to see where my culture is better than yours. And I think where we're going with this is, in the eyes of God, that's not what God is about. He's not about competition. He's about seeing where love exists and lives, maybe distinctly in each of these cultures.
Yes.
And together we are one humanity. And as the body of Christ, this is what we celebrate all over the world. And there could be some hope for trust in that in and of itself. This is why Eucharist is so important to us. Deacon Ronnie.
Well, I think in support of this cultural identity and understanding, there becomes the expression of what true Christian love is, and that's willing the good of the other as other. Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at my life as an other-centered life, that I have not my needs, but your needs and her needs that are always before me.
Yes.
In that regard. So that exchange becomes a reality of my everyday and how I live that day.
Yeah. But you talk about Christian life and it's completely right. But even the human love, without regarding a religious aspect, is to love the other for what he is and not for what he can give or when he can bring me as a... No, it's to look at the other, to love at the other and to look for what is the best for this person. It's not to look ourselves. So even humanly speaking is that. And after Christian love, yes, with the help of Jesus, through his heart, we will love in the Christian way through the heart of Jesus. But to love, yes, definitely is to look at the other.
And this is something that we were taught, sister, by the people who lived lives that led them into being in the prison, is that when life is so desperate every single day, I'm trying just to survive, to have enough food, to be secure and not be attacked, to have a roof over my head, that by the time I get to prison, I still have all of that inside of me. So I'm constantly looking for security, for well-being, and I tend to look for that in the other person instead of seeing them for who they are. I see them as a potential opportunity to do good for me. That was one. And then the other one that we learned that was really strange to us was that once you get into prison in many circumstances, until you really know that other person, you were talking about those two capacities, until you really know the other person, if you do something nice for somebody, it's interpreted as a contract that they're going to do something nice in return. If I accept your nicety, I have just accepted an obligation to do something nice in return, and maybe something I don't really want to do. Mm. So the whole idea of being kind gets twisted. And this takes us back to what it really is meant to be, kindness for the sake of kindness, not because I'm bidding you into an obligation for some service from you.
Yeah, so definitely that is not love. Love implies a secret between the two friends, something that we share in common, but something which is good, not which is bad. So if it's for a little traffic, no, it's bad and it's not a friendship. And there is a difference between friendship and kindness or false kindness. And definitely love is not at this level, it's beyond. And here again, to love, it's a choice. And Jesus Christ on the cross chose love rather than power and to be free. So sometimes when we choose love, it implies that we accept the cross as Christ carries the cross for all mankind. And it's a choice. And yeah, to love implies to suffer, because it's in suffering that we are growing.
And that is what I would consider to be one of the gifts that our incarcerated flock does not always see in themselves, that they have learned suffering. And in ways that many of us who have never been in criminal problems, who have never served time in a prison or a jail, have really a sense of the degree of suffering, particularly in terms of deprivation, not having enough food, not having real love, not having parents that care for them, not having a place to stay, having bad people be the only people that really show them any attention or kindness, and so they get taken up in that life. And so their suffering is plentiful. Our hope is that from that basis, then, they can enter into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and see how their suffering can be transformed into a powerful love.
Exactly. And I would like to let you know to each one of you, even if you know this deprivation and this lack of love, this lack of trust, is not impossible to live off it. Because of the resurrection of Christ, because of his cross, and is not impossible. And Jesus invited you right now to live of that, and you are completely able to live that.
We are coming towards the conclusion of our first session, and we want to build more on this four aspects that Sister has introduced us to, particularly in love. On the matter of love for our next session. But to get to the closing of this section, I didn't want to fail to touch on the aspect of the women and the men. The women and the men come at these things in very different ways, even though we all share in a common humanity as well. Many of our listeners in prison and outside of prison are women. We have a very large population of women prisoners. And so being a woman yourself, and this is a religious order of women, I didn't want to fail to bring your wisdom into that as well. What are some things specific to women that you would say are helpful in the matter of trust and certainly of love?
So at the level of love, we need to pay attention to, because women, we are very affective and we are able to do a drama for nothing. And Father Harry is laughing, actually. But it's true. And we need to be aware of that. And so when we start to be in the drama, maybe we need to ask questions and not to... Yeah, ask questions is a way to stop this little drama that we can have. And the same, the best mean in this case is the dialogue. And once it's the same in common life, in religious life, sometimes we do drama for little thing. And always it goes further when we dialogue between each other. And that is very important. And definitely there is difference between woman and man for that. But man, I'm not a man, but I have three brothers and one father, so I can know a little bit. But yeah, definitely.
Well, Sister, we want to thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to our next session with you, where we will continue on building a community life. And we've touched on the aspects of trust and a little bit on the aspect of love. And that will definitely be our next topic when we begin our next session. We ask God, who is love, in the power of his Spirit, to bless our Sisters of the Morning Star, to bless Deacon Ronnie, to bless myself, Father Harry, and all of you who are listening today, that we may build community life, the community that comes from the divine community of love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.